Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 30th day of July 2021. And I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest at the enthusiastic recommendation of my most recent former pastor, Mark Grimaldi, who was formerly my pastor at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, where he served for 16 years as one of the two pastors. Now he has taken a call to Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee. And if you were listening yesterday, he was my guest yesterday. Well, my former pastor, Mark, said to me, you've really got to get our music or worship pastor, Kenny Hilliard, on your program. He is an extremely talented musician. And he and his wife have a duo titled Kenny and Claire, and they produce professionally recorded music. And I am so looking forward to interviewing Kenny Hilliard, who has his THM and MDiv from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And he is, in addition to being the worship pastor at Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, a recording artist in Nashville, performing with his wife, Claire, as a duo called Kenny and Claire, as I mentioned earlier. And they have an album releasing, I should say, in September of rewritten hymns that have fallen out of common use. And today we are going to be addressing the theme, The Theology of Worship. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Kenny Hilliard.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me on. It's definitely a blessing, and it's been a joy for me to serve with Mark. He's a really wonderful guy.
Yes, he is, and you will no doubt be very blessed there at Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, hopefully for many, many years to come. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you, for those of our listeners who failed to listen yesterday, tell our listeners about Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee.
So Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier is a Reformed Baptist church. We're currently members of the SBC, but we are looking at RBNet and other situations. We are confessional, 1689, at least Mark and I are. And right now, it's really a church plant. We're getting started. You know, with COVID and all the other things that have happened, it's kind of like a reset. But we're very, very hopeful. We're already seeing a growth, both numerically and spiritually, and it's been a blessing to serve them. There's a very loving fellowship and a great sense of hospitality among the people.
Great. Well, if anybody wants to get more information about Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, also known as Sovereign Grace Church of White House, Tennessee, go to sovereigngracechurch.net, sovereigngracechurch.net, and you'll have all the details that you need. And I believe that I am going to start off, before we even get into any further discussion, and in fact, since you are a first-time guest, We have a tradition here that we have our first-time guests give a summary of their salvation testimony. And if you could do that, that would be great.
That'd be fantastic.
But before we do that, I wanted to whet the appetites of our listeners by playing an initial song, and then perhaps you could give it some setup. Tell us about the beauty.
So, For the Beauty of the Earth is actually a hymn that most of you will probably be familiar with. Generally, the songs on this album, we've wanted to stick to ones that aren't commonly used. Just because if they're commonly used, typically the melody's okay, if the information's being conveyed, people want to use it. But my wife put together a melody for The Beauty of the Earth that's slightly different, and it kind of goes back to this idea that when a lot of these hymns were written, formal melodies did convey grandeur and majesty. And so in that societal context, it made sense to use them. In ours, it can, because of the way we've been societally changed, it doesn't convey that same depth. And so we wanted to take the glorious truths of For the Beauty of the Earth and put them in a context where we recognize that we're singing these glorious truths, but we're still in a dark world that's dealing with sin, and so that's partially why there's a minor key. We're hoping that by making the melody more accessible, it'll be used more widely, but we also were hoping that the melody conveyed the theology behind the hymn itself.
Well, here we go. And here is For the Beauty. What was the full title? Because I can only see For the Beauty.
It actually, we just call it For the Beauty.
Oh, okay.
The original hymn is For the Beauty of the Earth.
Oh, okay, great. Well, here we go. I hope. Praise God. That was beautiful.
Thank you. A blessing to hear it.
Yeah, you and your wife, Claire, are certainly talented. By the way, I just had a curiosity, the photograph on your website, did you two just have an argument before that photo was taken?
It's supposed to be contemplative, but yeah, it does kind of look like there might be something going on between, you know, it was the first time, you know, you do family photos and you think happy people and all this stuff. And of course you go to do a band shoot and they're like, you can't smile, you know? And so you're trying to think, okay, I don't want to look like I'm enraged, but how do I convey that I'm thinking without smiling too much? So yeah, it was kind of a learning experience for us in that regard.
Yeah, well, the photo looks fine. I just I thought that I'd bring that up.
No, it definitely, I hadn't thought about it, but when you bring it up, I see that.
Well, now, as I hinted at before, since you are a first-time guest, we always have our first-time guests give a summary of their salvation experience or their testimony, including what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, they were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to Himself and saved you. So please provide your story.
No. Yeah, no, I love getting the opportunity to do that. So, I was raised in an independent fundamental Baptist, situation in the South. King James only, you know, all the things. And, I prayed the prayer. It's actually funny. In a Sunday evening service, the pastor asked who wanted to be saved, and I think you probably have heard some pastors give the analogy of jumping off the roof of a house into the dark to a father who's going to rescue or something like that.
No, but I did have a pastor tell me to jump off the roof of a house. No, I'm like,
okay.
And tell Pastor Grimaldi I forgive him.
I was going to say, is that Mark? In my context, pastors seem to have used that illustration a lot. So, in my mind, when he asks who wants to be saved, you know, I'm going to jump out of the choir loft. This sounds like an adventure. And of course, they take me forward. All these old ladies are crying. The associate pastor takes me to a room. He's like, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And it's just the whole thing. And so I answered the questions and I was baptized. But by the time I got to middle school, I realized that I didn't love the things of God. Wasn't interested. And I would go to my youth pastor and I'd be like, you know, I really don't think that I'm a believer. And he'd be like, well, you prayed the prayer, didn't you? And I'm like, well, yeah. And he says, well, you know, you meant it, didn't you? And of course, who wants to say, no, I didn't mean it, you know? So of course you say, yeah. And he goes, well, it's just Satan bothering you. Don't worry about it. You're a believer. And, that was really the setting that I was raised in. By the time I got to my junior year of high school, I was actually, I was a really good skateboarder and was helping lead a mission trip in Canada, doing skate camps to bring in the teens and kids from the community, you know, for opportunities for evangelism. And there was one night of worship where I think all they did was play music and had just a time of prayer. But in that time of prayer, I became distinctly aware that God was very angry with me. And I was living in unrepentant sin. I had done things that are horrible, not worth mentioning. And I felt his anger. And sitting in the pew, I just started trying to make a deal. You know, well, I'll pray more. I'll read the Bible more. You know, I can do these things to make me a better person. And I just was distinctly aware that he was getting angrier and angrier with me. This was not making things better. And it got to the point where I was underneath the pew in the floor and I was at my wit's end. I was like, what can I do? And it was then that it hit me that it was Christ who had done the work and that my attempts to do it were rejecting him and his work. In essence, I was kind of spitting on what God had already done for me. And in that moment where I just told him, I trust Jesus' work. If he hasn't saved me, I can't. The anger was relieved, and I have been different since, you know. The things that I used to love, I now hate. The things that I used to hate, I now love. And it was a very poignant time. I know not everybody in their testimony, you know, has that kind of experience, but it definitely stands out in my mind. I'm grateful for it. But yeah, that was the time that the Lord got a hold of me, and I shortly thereafter, just overwhelmed by the grace that I had been shown, felt that I needed to be ministering somehow. And so, you know, through a long story that we can get into at some other point, here we are.
Well, praise God. And just out of curiosity, was the fundamentalist background that you are a part of also, yeah, as it is commonly, unfortunately, not always, but is commonly vehemently anti-Calvinist?
Oh, yes, yes. It's actually interesting. When I first started reading the Bible, I started in the Minor Prophets because I wanted to start somewhere that I had not heard of before. And I was so overwhelmed by the sovereignty of God that when I got to Bible college, and my friend started calling me a Calvinist, I was very upset about it, because to me that was heresy. That was, you're a heretic. You know, you didn't believe in evangelism. You just waited for people to come in the church. Like, it was just, So I was raised in a very anti-Calvinistic background, at least from what was preached in the pulpit.
Well, after you had become a believer, by the Lord's mercy and grace, and his miraculous work of regeneration in your heart, how and when did you come to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, otherwise known as Reformed theology and also also nicknamed Calvinism?
Yeah, so I became a believer the summer. It was after my junior year going into my senior year. And after my senior year, I started reading the Bible. Like I said, I was reading the Minor Prophets a lot. My freshman year of college came. I was a music major at the time. And, of course, in a Bible college in the South, the King James-only controversy is a big thing, especially back then. And I found out that our school offered the biblical languages. And I just was like, I need those. And so I switched my major. Well, in that time, I met a pastor who was retiring, and he asked if he could give me a box of books that he thought would be helpful for ministry, and I said, sure. And so he sent me a box, and it included Edwards and Spurgeon. It had Sproul's The Holiness of God, and so it was through the kindness, you know, the Lord sovereignly, you know, directing this pastor to send me books. I didn't even hardly know the guy. But, you know, I read Spurgeon's sermons, and I was reading Holiness of God, and it was just completely affirming what I was finding in the text. And at that point, between my freshman and sophomore year of college, I knew that I loved the doctrines of grace.
Did that have any bad backlash with anyone in your family?
I think my father struggled with it quite a bit at first. I think that he definitely affirms many of the doctrines of grace now. The bigger backlash I had was among my friends who, you know, were strongly against Calvinism at the time.
But did they finally at least come to tolerate it?
Well, in some instances, I had to find new friends. But yeah, I mean, my very best friend was adamantly against it for a while. And eventually he came around, and he and I, we were roommates all through college, all through seminary. He's a missionary now. And you know, so the Lord used it in both our lives and used each other to guide us down that road.
Great. Well, our email address, if anybody has a question for our guest today, Kenny Hilliard, is chrisarnzen, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, please only remain anonymous if your questions involve a personal and private matter. Let's say you have a problem with the music that is included in your worship services. Obviously, we wouldn't want you to identify your church if that was the case. Or any other reason that you think is truly a personal and private matter. You may feel free to remain anonymous, but if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Now, the theology of worship is our theme. This is actually something that you teach. Tell us the capacity and the venue where you teach this theme.
I've had opportunities to speak on it to different groups. I haven't had the ability to, or the opportunity yet to formally teach courses on it. I've dug into it through some Sunday school classes in the past. It certainly is something that we are hoping to get into more as we get involved with more conferences with our music and whatnot. It is a hope for me to help foster a community of worship songwriters and whatnot who are thinking carefully about what it means to worship. And it's more than music, obviously. We'll probably get into that. But also, you know, to offer training to churches who want their worship teams to think more about these things as well.
Well, what do you think is the biggest flaw, the greatest flaw, error? You might even want to say sin. In regard to much of the worship music involved in Christianity today, and this isn't something new.
No.
Even some of the very old hymns are very unbiblical and corny, and sometimes even approaching laughably ridiculous. I'm not saying that that's the majority, but there are some.
No.
I don't think that they're found in the Trinity hymnal, which is the hymnal that my church uses. But right. I've heard some I've heard some goofy, old fashioned, quote hymns that have been played on the radio, have been sung in churches where I had the displeasure of being present. Tell us about what you think the greatest flaw that you have witnessed and experienced in at least the modern sense of Christian worship music.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, you know, you're talking about the old hymns. I mean, my mind automatically comes to the words, you know, he stands at the portal, he's waiting and watching, you know, as if Jesus, you know, hopes that you will come to him, but he's not quite capable of getting you over the hump there. I mean, to be fair, I think there are a lot of issues with modern worship. I think one of the bigger ones is a foundational problem where there's this misguided notion of what worship is. So when you talk about worship, at least in our modern Christian American context, you think about the worship experience. And so when we look at a lot of the popular writing that's being done, the point of it is to stir an emotion. It's targeted at getting you to feel a certain way. And it's unmistakable that music itself does give us emotion. It does. I mean, that's a component of what music is. But this desire to focus in on creating an emotion. And we, you know, you see the big picture of it with the laser lights and the smoke machines and whatnot, but even in smaller context, we talk about it as, how did that make you feel? Because that is the focus, worship becomes about me. It becomes about whether it was good enough for me. And in my opinion, in my understanding of Scripture, worship, and that includes more than just the music. We usually, when we talk about worship, we think about the music, but of course, if we have a well-rounded theology, we're thinking this includes the giving of money, the offerings, this includes the preaching, this includes the reading of Scripture in the service, this includes the Lord's Supper, like it's all there. What the foundation of worship is, in my understanding, is a right picture of who God is and what He has done, and a right picture of who I am. And that, in some way, is how we glorify God, by understanding these things. And so when we talk about music, if we're targeting the lyrics at stirring an emotion, we're getting at a side item. The goal should be better understanding who God is and what He has done, or providing a right picture of who we are in that context.
In fact, a right picture of who we are is where we'll pick up, because we have to go to our first break.
Okay, yes.
Tell us about the second song that I'm about to play, and it is titled Approach. I can't read the entire title.
It's okay. Approach My Soul. So this is a John Newton hymn called Approach My Soul, the Mercy Seat. And when we read the words of this hymn, I mean, it's all about how we are not worthy of God's love, but how He has promised that He would provide mercy to those who come to Him. And so it's an overarching song that says, hey, you know, it's like preaching the gospel to yourself. Okay, heart, we're going to go to the mercy seat. And we're going to go there because He promises that His work is enough. I really feel like the lyrics of Approach My Soul are very powerful. I'm thankful for that Newton wrote them.
Okay, well, here is Approach My Soul.
My soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before His feet, for none can perish there. Thy promise is my only plea, with this I venture nigh. Thou callest burdened souls to Thee, and such, O Lord, am I. A wondrous love to bleed and die, to bear the cross and shame, that guilty sinner such as I might plead I pray.
mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned in, our guest today for the entire program is Kenny Hilliard, and he is a part of a duo called Kenny and Claire, Christian recording artists, and we are discussing the theme, the theology of worship. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and if you could, Kenny, pick up where you left off. You were discussing how good Christian music should be giving us, declaring to us, and obviously while we sing, we declare to everyone else in our presence and to God who God really is and who we really are.
Yeah. I think a good picture of this, I think, is seen, it's something I actually heard in a Piper sermon several years ago, but it kind of stuck with me. You know, we talk a lot about glorifying God, and that's a beautiful thing, but we can get caught up in vague theological terms. And so when we ask, what is the glory of God, we kind of get a picture of that in Isaiah, when Isaiah goes into the temple and he sees the Lord and he's on his throne and the angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And if we kind of break that down, it points out that God's glory is a picture of his holiness. Like when we see his holiness, the result is his glorification. And so if we're going to rightly see who God is, we're gazing into the beauty of his holiness. Then the right response when we consider who we are is to recognize our own unholiness and our own unworthiness. And I think that is a lacking theme in a lot of the music that is, say, popular in our culture.
Well, I'm going to play a third song for our listeners today. And this song is titled, Oh for a Faith. Why don't you set this song up for us?
Yeah, Oh for a Faith is actually a really great hymn. So we have, in our songwriting, we have an old hymnal from the 1890s, and it has no music in it. It's just the lyrics. And as we're reading the words of this hymn, it's just overwhelming thinking about, what's the best way to put it? We're longing for a faith that's not going to shrink from the difficult things that face us. It's not going to shrink from the strife. It somehow considers it all joy, even when we suffer. And this was just a marked distinction from what is often chipper worship music. But the goal is to remind us that, yes, this is hard. Yes, there is difficulty. But we should long for that faith that doesn't shrink from the difficult things.
Well, here we go, folks. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did the first time I listened. Oh, for a faith.
Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many foes, that will not tremble.
That was another breathtaking song, and again, you and your wife, Claire, are certainly gifted.
Thank you, brother.
Just out of curiosity, what would the independent fundamentalist Baptist folks think of your style of music? Because I know there is a variety of levels of animosity that independent fundamentalists have. Some have no problem with modern music if it's tastefully done and doesn't sound like a rock concert. Some of those folks despise anything that sounds contemporary. Some of them fail to recognize that some of the melodies of the hymns that they love to sing sound very much like barbershop quartets, which could have been found in vaudeville shows in the early 1900s that had strippers involved.
Some of the hymns from the Reformation era used bar songs because that's what the people knew. There is a variety of spectrums. I remember, I served for a time as a senior pastor in the mountains of North Carolina and had a pastor's meeting one time with a group in our association. And one guy decided that the topic of conversation for that time should have been, what is a satanic drumbeat? So it happened. I think that the response that we've gotten more, especially when we're doing our Kickstarter and whatnot, has been that some people are angry from that crowd, that we're actually changing the hymns a little more than the style of music, you know, but I'm sure it's there as well. But yeah, the bigger thing I've gotten is you shouldn't touch them at all. Which is unfortunate because our point is they're not being used and our goal is to bring them back into use, but to do it in an organic way. So it doesn't feel like here's an old song. We slapped a happy melody on. Here you go, you know? But we run into some of that.
Tell us about your own philosophy of music. Even in the Reformed faith, even amongst conservative Reformed Christians and pastors and churches, there is a difference of opinion. I happen to be someone who, although I love certain kinds of music that could be rightfully considered performances. I love going to Christian concerts. And when I'm enjoying music, whether secular or Christian, outside the context of a formal gathered corporate worship service, I have more liberty and much wider a spectrum in my taste of the styles of music. I have no problem listening to John Cooper in a car or just in my house or wherever else, or going to a John Cooper concert. In fact, I have interviewed John Cooper, and if anybody wants to listen to his interview that I conducted with him, you can go to iontrepensionradio.com and type John Cooper in the search engine. And that will come up. It might be under John L. Cooper, which is his middle initial. But there are styles of music, and I wouldn't even include John, as much as I enjoy it, that I would not be comfortable having played in a worship service. And one of the reasons is when we're in a worship service, I think that congregations are the ones who are supposed to be singing and worshiping and not sitting back as spectators and as fans in an audience merely listening and observing. So what are your thoughts?
I can agree with that. The album is obviously produced as an album. You're going to listen to it a little bit differently than you would, you know, expect at a Sunday morning service. I can tell you that in my leadership of Sovereign Grace Church, when we select the songs on Sunday morning, our goal is that it is congregational, that it is something that the congregation can sing. Because in my understanding, our time of worship, you know, we're digging we're doing the Hebrews 12 thing. We're stirring one another up to love and good works. And it serves me to hear the congregation singing the truth of who God is and who we are. And it serves the congregation to hear us. And it should not be a spectator thing. And so our Sunday morning services at Sovereign Grace are a little more pulled back. We don't have big solos or anything like that. Because it just doesn't seem to serve very well. I don't feel like, you know, at that point it's really congregational worship if my job is to stand here and watch you do your thing. And so I do agree that on the Lord's Day in the service, it should be that way. Outside of the context for the gathering, then I think that there's a little more leeway for performance and whatnot. But, yeah.
Okay, well, we have to go to our midway break right now, and please, folks, be patient. The midway break is longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize their station to Lake City, Florida, and that includes all of their programming, including Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So while they do that, while they air their own public service announcements and other local things, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use your time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And when you can't purchase their products and use their services and visit their churches and support their parachurch organizations, at least reply to them by thanking them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We need our advertisers to exist, folks. We will go off the air if our advertisers do not keep renewing their advertising contracts. So please keep them happy. Respond to them at least by saying thank you. And also send in questions for Kenny Hilliard on the theology of worship. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state of residence and country of residence. We'll be right back.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnson and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hopley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com, that's NASBible.com, to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, never forget that solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this broadcast. If they were to discontinue their ad campaigns, we would likely go off the air, barring a miracle from God financially. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And please also remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio an enormous favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the very finest and reformed Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my interview with Kenny Hilliard of the musical duo Kenny and Claire, I just have some very important announcements to make. First of all, please keep praying for my brother John. I thank all of you in the listening audience who have been reassuring me over the last several months that you have indeed been lifting my brother John up to the Lord's throne of grace in prayer as he continues to battle with cancer and critical stage emphysema in a hospital in Denton, Texas. Some of you may have heard my most recent update, very grim. The doctor told him that he has at best 6 months to live. I would ask of you to pray that the Lord extends his life, perhaps even miraculously heals him completely so that he has many more years of life on this earth. And I also ask of you, most importantly, to give me the full assurance that my brother John is truly saved. He did give me or send me a very encouraging message on the internet through Facebook Messenger He sent me a message telling me that he is turning to Christ every day and asking him if today is the day that he is brought off this earth, that the Lord brings him into his arms and into his kingdom, where he may worship him wondrously for eternity, as he put it. I praise God for those words. Please pray that John continues to manifest genuine faith coming from a new heart, and that I can have full assurance that he is headed for heaven whenever the Lord chooses to take him off this earth. I really appreciate it. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. We are in urgent need of your help. We have been hurt very badly financially. The coronavirus pandemic hysteria has hurt so many people in our audience, either having them radically reduced in their finances, or losing their jobs altogether, or losing their businesses altogether. And therefore, the giving has gone down significantly. Some listeners who give less. Some have ceased to give until they have a better financial situation. Please help us replenish that which has been lost. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now if you really love the show and don't want it to disappear. If you want to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe exactly as I do, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe, then send me an email today and put advertising in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, a theologically sound, biblically faithful church, I have lists of churches all over the world, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Also, folks, please remember, if you give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I never want any of my listeners to siphon money away from the regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member, in order to give to us. Please never do that. One of the main reasons I started this show is to be a friend, a helping hand, a platform, an extension of the local pastor and the local church, just as I am interviewing today Kenny Hilliard, the worship pastor at Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee. I never intended, nor do I ever want, any local pastor or church harmed in any way by this show, which would include financially. So please never siphon money away from your local giving in order to give to us, and never put your family in further peril financially if you're really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at this time. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture: providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. So please only give if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands. Please, if you do have extra money collecting interest, and you have extra money for recreational and trivial purposes, and you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, please give today. The website again is ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. We are really in urgent need of your help. Also, folks, if you are a man in ministry leadership, whether you are a pastor, an elder, and by the way, I think those are the same office, a deacon, a parachurch leader, as long as you are a man in ministry leadership, and you'd like to attend the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, which is absolutely free of charge, coming up on Monday, September 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, please send me an email, chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Our guest speaker this year is going to be Dr. Conrad Mbewe, a man who I truly believe, without fear of sinful exaggeration, flattery, or hyperbole, I truly believe he is the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth. Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. If you would like to attend this pastor's luncheon, this free pastor's luncheon, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full program has been and will continue to be Kenny Hilliard. He is worship pastor at Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, and he is half of the duo with his wife, Claire, called Kenny and Claire, and we are discussing the theology of worship. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Kenny, what are some of the essential elements, more of the essential elements, I should say, that you believe should be included or even must be included in worship music in order for it to be appropriate for worship?
That's a really good question. Sorry about losing you there for a minute. I think what's critical, and actually listening to some of the things Bob Coughlin has said has helped me in this as well, is that the music really does need to be simple. We want everybody within the congregation to be able to be involved. And that's a practical thing, but it's also a theological thing. We want this to be for the body. We don't want this to just be for the trained musicians. Again, getting back into that during one another up to love and good works. And there is a practical issue there too. There can be a tendency in some really strong theological worship to be so complex that it's really hard when you're in a small church context and your musicians are hobbyists that they can replicate it and use it. So I think that part of serving the church is making certain that the music is something that they can use, because that's the goal, is to get these truths into the minds and hearts of those who are part of the congregation. So I think that that is a critical element. You know, along the way, as we think about what key do we put a song into, is, well, where can most people sing? Again, the nature of trying to write music for the church really needs to serve the body and to be useful to the whole body, instead of, in some sense, showing off. And one thing that Bob Coughlin gets at, too, it needs to be theologically rich. But one tendency can be that we try to put all of our theology into one song. And so trying to keep the theological point we're trying to make consistent and simple allows it to better get into the heart and mind of those who are going to be singing it. And this is really the critical nature of music in worship. You know, I love to preach. I love to teach. But in preaching and teaching, generally speaking, people are going to remember 2 to 5% of what I say. But there's just this mysterious nature about the way God has created us to sing that the music sticks. And so part of serving is to get into the nature of how he's designed music. And so when I was a young man, I got into a bluegrass band with our church, and we served old folks' homes, giving them church services when they couldn't have them. And I'll never forget all of the people with Alzheimer's and dementia who would never remember your name, would greet you for the first time every 5 minutes. But as soon as we started singing hymns that they knew all the words, they knew the melodies, because it had stuck, it had sunk in. And so thinking about how we package the theology so that it's easy to remember and can be part of just the daily life of people who need these truths and will sing them in their hearts as they stick, is part of that, I think, biblical element of how we look at writing music for the church.
And we are going to play our next song by you and your wife from your upcoming album by Kenny and Claire. First of all, what is the title of the album?
So the album title is Are You Weary? Are You Weary is the title track of that. Is that the one you have next?
Actually, that's the song I'm going to play.
Okay, fantastic. Actually, an interesting thing about this song is that the lyrics for the song were originally written in either Latin or Greek. There's some disagreement historically on that. In the 700s by a guy named Stephen of Marsabas. And an English gentleman in the 1800s took those lyrics and turned them into translated them into English. And one of the things that we love about trying to bring, again, these older hymns back is we're trying to sing along with the church through the ages. I just think about singing the same truth as that great cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on. And, of course, that the original title for this was Art Thou Weary, Art Thou Languid. It had words like guerdon in it, which means present or prize. And so we did have to update some of the language, but I hope, and it's our goal, that it feels organic and that it maintains the same theological message as the original.
Okay, great. Well, here it is, all who are weary. Praise God. Another breathtaking song by Kenny and Claire. The complaint that is often heard by those who are diligent to preserve theological purity in Christian music, the complaint often heard is that the music very often recorded by today's artists is man-centered. How do we approach this, since we don't want to center our music on us, but at the same time, we are rejoicing and we are singing with praise and thanksgiving and gratefulness to God for things that he has done for us and things that he has done to us and the ways that he has transformed us and rescued us and had mercy on us and saved us. So how do we approach this subject without being, without the music sounding human-centered?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, we didn't originate all the lyrics to Are You Weary, but I think it exemplifies that in a bit, in the sense of it relates to the struggle that the congregation of singing is probably going through. But as it does so, it's continually redirecting the eyes back to back to Christ, back to his work. And you see that in a really good hymn that's put out by the folks at Getty Music, Yet Not I, But Christ in Me, which is, of course, quoting Paul. The whole point is looking back to what he's done. I think you also find that in the Psalms, where the psalmist may start, particularly in lament psalms, will be like, you know, Lord, where are you? My enemies are mocking me. I don't understand what's going on. You know, are you deaf? Like, can you hear me? But at the end of the lament is always that turn back to, but you have saved us in the past. You have done this work. You have made these promises. This is who you are. And so I will trust in what you have said you will do instead of what I'm seeing at the moment. I think a lot about Luther talks about men who are turned in on themselves. And there's a danger of growing so personally introspective that we lose sight of God's work altogether. And I think that's a danger that can happen in some forms of modern worship.
We have a question from Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Arnie asks, whenever music is discussed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, a key question comes up, and not all the guests have been perfectly harmonious in their answers. I was wondering what your thoughts are on whether or not there is truly neutrality in musical instrumentation, rhythm, and melody when it comes to music that we bring into the church. I happen to believe that there is not neutrality with all rhythm and melody, and that some melodies are too reminiscent of sensual emotion and other things that are not appropriate to attach to Christian music. Obviously, there is other types of sound, such as the real raucous death metal and punk, that would tend to drown out any kind of attention to the lyrics in the songs, and also wind up being much more of a performance than a conduit to worship. What is your opinion on this?
No, I think that's a very good question. I think just by sheer fact that music itself is designed to elicit an emotional response can inform us that, you know, there are, let's say, forms of music that are designed to make you angry, designed to just make you feel certain ways. And even in our music, you know, we may choose a minor key to get a sense of that emotional tension that comes from living in a sinful world, yet singing glorious truths about God. So I don't want to say that there is such thing as complete neutrality. But I think that a lot of times that lack of neutrality is what happens as the writer is writing the song. What is the goal? What is the point? And again, that's where we get back into, are the emotions themselves the goal or not? Now, I think there is a danger, or can be a danger, in selecting forms of music for corporate worship that lend themselves either to sensuality or to anger. I personally would not suggest, you know, like death metal is a great way to lead worship within a congregation. But I also wouldn't suggest that there's some, you know, reformed, we'll talk about John Cooper's music. He, a lot of times, is getting at the angst of dealing with sin and the struggles that happen within the heart. And so his music has a tendency to fit that. So I wouldn't say that because he's playing in what we might consider a more angry style of music, that it is somehow evil or sinful. I think there is a place for it, again, as long as you're getting at what is the point of writing the song. And in that vein, just like there's no such thing as a neutral book that's being authored by an author, there's no neutral song being written by a songwriter. The writer has something in mind when they're penning what they pen. So I hope that gets at it. If you have any clarifying questions, you know, maybe I can make that more clear if I'm being unclear.
Well, thank you, Arnie. Feel free, as Kenny said, if you'd like to follow up with another clarifying question, that's fine. We have Mary in Cork, Ireland, who says, I am really enjoying this interview. It is very encouraging to hear these old hymns. I love how Christ is exalted as he should be. God bless you both in this ministry. There's no question there, just a word of encouragement.
That is such a blessing. Such a blessing to hear. You know, when you're putting this together, and again, you have these intentions, you always hope that it comes across in what you create. So thank you so much, all the way from Ireland. What an encouragement. Thank you.
By the way, since we do have listeners overseas, in addition to those living in the 50 states of the United States, how do our listeners, no matter where they live, get a hold of your music?
So right now, we have two singles that are on all streaming platforms and any place that you can buy digital music. That would be Approach My Soul and Are You Weary? We have another single, which is the song that you'll end with, called Is There Peace? That will be coming out as a single on streaming platforms soon. I don't remember the exact date. But the full album will come out in September. We're also on all streaming platforms. We try to stay involved in trying to encourage our listeners with either lyrics that we're working on the music that we're continuing to write, or good quotes from the Puritans, or, you know, just ways that real life we can point ourselves and our listeners back to Christ. And that would be Kenny and Claire on, like I said, the social media platforms, that kind of thing. I did want to say we are booking nights of worship, conferences. We do houses and churches, really anywhere that we might be able to serve. We're booking those for the rest of the year, and we're also looking at next year. We're available through kennyandclairemusic@gmail.com.
kennyandclairemusic@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
And Claire has an E at the end. C-L-A-I-R-E.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, there are a number of ways to spell that name.
C-L-A-I-R-E.
Well, we're going to our final break right now. If anybody would like to join us, please send in an email because we are rapidly running out of time. So please send an email now, I should say. Our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Kenny Hilliard and more on the theology of worship.
Fellowship and worship one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is supreme over all. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with the family.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our guest today has been and will continue to be for the final minutes of the show, Kenny Hilliard, who is half of the duo, the Christian recording duo, along with his wife, Claire, Kenny and Claire. And we have been discussing the theology of music. If you have a question, please send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Give us some background on Is There Peace, the final song that we're going to have time to play today on your new album.
Yeah, so it's a hymn that we found in our, like I said, we have a number of old hymnals, and it has this kind of formula that's similar to Psalm 136, where every other phrase is a reassurance: His mercy endures forever, or His steadfast love endures forever. In this one, there are questions of doubt, and then there's a short response, which should be a reminder of Christ's faithfulness to His people, and it kind of spoke to us because we have, especially here in Nashville, as we interact with other Christian musicians and whatnot, we have a number of friends who are going through deconstruction. I'm sure you've heard that plenty of times. And I want to be fair. I'm sure a lot of times they bring up questions that are legitimate questions, but a lot of it seems to center around the idea that the promises of Scripture are simply trite statements and therefore not enough for their experience. And so we just wanted to find a song that a congregation could sing that is a reminder, yes, life is difficult, but it is enough, that Christ will care for us, that He will take care of us. And it's probably not going to present itself in this life. We're waiting for a kingdom that's coming. And we do have suffering promised in this life. We're supposed to count it all joy somehow. I mean, it's not easy. We should count it all joy when we fall into various trials and tribulations. And so that kind of is the nature of this song, an attempt to remind us of the truth, even in the midst of difficulty.
Well, here is that final song, Is There Peace? And I hope that you are all blessed.
Dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Is there peace with many duties pressed to do is rest? It is enough. Our struggle soon shall
future all unknown. Jesus we know, and He is on the throne. Is there peace with death shadowing us and ours? Jesus has vanquished death and all its power.
Hallelujah. Well,
got a long tail. Sorry about that.
Well, I want you to have a minute to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before I remind them of how to get in touch with you.
Ultimately, I think that I would love to leave these people with just the fact that as we come to worship, whether it's at home, whether it's in the church, that our worship is again a recognition of who God is, what He has done. It's targeted at Him, and then the response is looking at us and who we are. Glorifying God is gazing into the beauty of His holiness, and doing so should humble us. And so as we think about worship, I hope that your audience thinks about worship as unto the Lord, and less about me and how I feel about it.
Amen. And I want to remind you folks, if you want to find out how to book a concert with Kenny and Claire, or if you want to find out where they're performing, where they're having concerts, or if you want to purchase their music, go to kennyandclaire.com, kennyandclaire, C-L-A-I-R-E.com. And don't forget about Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, also known as Sovereign Grace Church of White House, Tennessee, where my former pastor is the new pastor, Mark Grimaldi, and where my guest today, Kenny Hilliard, is the worship pastor. Go to sovereigngracechurch.net, sovereigngracechurch.net. I want to thank you so much for being such an excellent guest today. I hope to meet you at some point in the very near future. I want to thank everybody who listened today.
Thank you.
I want to thank everybody, who, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I hope you all have a safe and blessed and happy and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.